E2, number 11B.
3 capitalized categories or categories of capitalized terms. This involves a complete dominion to interpret a text, therefore to know the principles of interpretation of a text. Now, this week I can't go into that subject, which is very fundamental, most important, to be able to read any text of our subject, but I will do that next week in a separate class and just exercise interpretation of text and to show how such an interpretation can be valid and how it is that if we do not know the principle of interpretation, that we always arrive at a result and an interpretation which is not valid. This is quite a new subject, the principle of interpretation, because nobody has ever taught that up to now, and it has become, so to say, a question of survival or not survival of the textbook and the understanding of Christian Science, because just reading the textbook and interpreting it from a human system of reference can never unlock really the structure of a text. So this must be left to next week, and we have to build on the fact that we would know this principle of interpretation when we investigate the textbook. So what we could had to do at that time was to take the text of a chapter and reading that chapter through the grid of the system of divine system of reference, and to see and find the layout of it. That means to see two things. Is there in a chapter a common subject which can be spelled out and phrased in the system of reference that we have? And second, can I see that this subject that runs through the whole chapter, is there in that presentation a order, a spiritual order running through it? At that time we called it the layout of a chapter. So going out from that, I tried to show in my book, The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook, always these two points, namely, first, what is the general spiritual meaning of a chapter? Naturally, you could say, well, that is given by the title of the chapter. And this is not quite so clear as that. If you take, for instance, a chapter on marriage, then marriage doesn't convey at once what kind of marriage is being presented in the chapter on marriage. You could expect that you would talk about married people and about how to get married and what to do in marriage and so on, but that is not what is in the chapter. So she presents a spiritual idea in that chapter, which is very much different from the ordinary concept of what somebody would present under the title marriage. So you can see that the title per se does not quite convey really the spiritual meaning of that chapter, and to bring out that is naturally the first and biggest task when one approaches a chapter. To read it so as to hear the spiritual tone in it and to be able to define that subject of a chapter in the terminology of Christian Science. How that can be done, that I can't show this week, that has to be left to next week. Then, when one knows and feels that one has somehow caught the tone of a chapter, the subject of a chapter, the tone of a chapter, whatever we may call it, then comes the second step, namely that one asks oneself, how is that subject developed through the chapter from the first page to the last page? A scientific thinker would always first ask now, what is the proposition of a subject? And would like to have that proposition stated at the beginning of a chapter so that he knows what the author is trying to write about. And he always asks to see how that proposition is then developed in a spiritual order and logic, step by step, in order to arrive at the end of a chapter to a conclusion, and would feel that when he arrives at the end of the chapter, he really finds there the final answer or the conclusive answer or the complete answer to that proposition. Therefore, one is asking, what is the proposition? And at the end, what is the conclusion? And in between is the whole stage-by-stage development of the proposition leading to the conclusion. When we have to deal with a Christian Science subject, of which we know is written within the divine system of reference, and not within an ordinary system of reference, then naturally we can ask how in the terminology of the divine system of reference we can pinpoint and epitomize the proposition, then the development, and then the conclusion. Which means that if the textbook is written as a scientific book with scientific methods, with order, that then we should be able to see in terms of our system of reference the order that runs through it. Now, in most cases, you can see that the order that runs through it may be the word order, from mind, starting with mind, giving the proposition in mind, developing that subject from the basis of mind through spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, in order to arrive at the end of the chapter or of a part of the chapter at the point of love and giving the final conclusion. That's only one way that the system of reference would give us a layout. Therefore, a text can also show another order, or can show, for instance, the calculus, and show how a chapter starts from the point of the word and leads thought through the Christ to Christianity to the point of science. This again is an ordered presentation of a subject. Or one can have a chapter that would show another order, for instance, the order of stating the level of Christian Science, lifting it up to the level of absolute Christian Science, to divine science and science itself, and perhaps even bringing it down through the levels, from there over divine science to absolute Christian Science to Christian Science. That again would confirm a scientific order and a scientific presentation. In the textbook we have them all according to the subject treated therein. Mrs. Eddy would either follow the synonym order or the calculus order or the level order. But we have to be careful that we are not going to force to see these orders in the text. In the principle of interpretation next week, we will see that very clearly, that there is great danger in just interpreting something according to a preconceived concept and then forcing the text into that layout. And we can see that that is the easiest thing we can do. That we can take a text and have a preconceived concept that this or that order should be in it. And because the text of a chapter is so big and contains thousands and thousands of terms, it is very easy to force any layout into the text. But the principle of interpretation says that the author who wrote the text, and in this case the author is God and not Mrs. Eddy, had one great idea in view and therefore could only represent that idea in one definite order. And to find out what is the order that the divine revelator had in view, what the divine mind had in view, this is the big task of the interpreter. So what I have been doing after John Dolly has left us and had interpreted more or less the whole of the Bible, we have been tackling this subject of the textbook and therefore had to proceed inductively by taking a chapter, reading it, listening, spiritual listening, in order to find the general tone of the chapter and try to epitomize it. Then to test if that feeling is right, to test it in the way that one said, does every step that is shown in the text conform to that theme, to that subject, and so see how in different stages the same subject, not other subject, the same subject would be dealt with through an ordered way. And so we would find the layout of a chapter. And the rough layout of these chapters I have given in my book, The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook, and I limited the presentation just to these main tones. The book would have been much too big to be practical if I would have gone into the finer layout and into the more detailed presentation of substructures, of subtones and sub-subtones and things like that, because I left that to the presentation in classes which have been taped in England. So the book that we have in front of us and which we consider only wants to show that very rough structure of the textbook. So today the student has already a presentation like mine, and he hasn't have to find out if that presentation is right or wrong. And actually he wouldn't have actually a method to judge on it. So that's why I give next week that class on interpretation, in order to give to the student the method how he can judge if what I have been presenting is conclusive or not, Because if he has an objective and no more a humanly subjective standard, then he can measure it up himself if he knows the tonality of the divine system of reference and can judge by himself if the findings are right or nearly right or absolutely wrong. So we go out from the hypothesis today that my findings are more or less right in the way of the structure of each chapter. And so we want to see what is the spiritual story of the whole textbook on the basis that my findings should be right. Therefore, I have asked you as an assignment to take the summaries in my textbook and transfer the findings into a matrix form. And so take your notes which you have made, and we will go over it and try to epitomize it on a matrix. Now, the overhead projector which I have does not allow me to write into each box so much as you can write in your on your paper if you write a bit, if your writing is not too big. And so I will only put in some key terms, but you yourself naturally are absolutely allowed to put in what you like to put in. But one always sees that if one can reduce and reduce and reduce until finally one just has one or a few words, that this is naturally of great advantage. Now, we go and ask ourselves first, did you find or could you phrase the epitome of each chapter? And as these talks are taped, I have to talk as if you were answering and bring up various things and then weigh them up. As it is only a transferring of text into this matrix, then more or less I know what is in the text, and so I can bring that up. Some of you would have, say, in prayer, seen that I'm speaking there about what, and you would say, I write that it shows the necessary mental qualities for an ordered approach to God. That's one way I have put it in the book. It is also showing the seeking thought that is molded so as to approach God. There are actually only these two indications which I gave in order to epitomize prayer. So let's perhaps summarize it and say, if we transfer it, we write here in prayer, perhaps the necessary mental qualities. I'm sorry, but this doesn't work either. Necessary mental qualities. We write in these things and try to leave open as much as you can room for corrections later on in case we would make corrections. Yes, this is more or less what you have found. Then let's take Atonement and Eucharist. In Atonement and Eucharist, I have written at various stages in the book, I have written that it shows the demands of Christ to reconcile our mentality with God. You hear the tone of it. It shows now that God has certain demands on us, on our mental attitude, and says there must be some kind of definite mental qualities which alone are able to be reconcilable with God. So they are the demands of the Christ in order to be at one mind, at one mind with God. Did you have up to this point also these findings? Later on in the back, I tried to word it differently. I said that this chapter shows that we should accept the demands which God urges upon us. Again, it's a Christ demand, thou shalt. I also said, in case you have transferred that, I said it's a willingness to sacrifice human will, to submit ourselves to God's requirement, and thus to reconcile ourselves with God, so as to find our at-one-ment with God. You see, there are about 5 or 6 different wordings, and if one is not mesmerized by the letter, but is hearing spiritually, and that's always necessary, to hear spiritually, then you see that each one of those 4 or 5 statements all mean the same tone, namely that atonement and Eucharist says that the Christ has some demands on us in order that we are at one mind with God, which means at one, atoned, reconciled. So can you see the subject of the chapter, which somehow would perhaps mean, if we reduce it and say, here the chapter presents the demands of Christ, perhaps we write that down, demands of Christ to reconcile, can you say, with God, to reconcile with God, is that English? Yeah? To reconcile with God. I put in a methodolic, I never get that straight, a question of method.